the idea that even the dogs eat the crumbs. We're going to look at the story of this Canaanite woman's faith and what we can learn as moms, but maybe even more all of us as parents, as individuals. And again, I recognize in this room, some of you, your children are grown. Some of you have never had children. Some of you have had children that have passed away, right? Some of you have difficult families that your children don't talk to you. Some of you have children that are in difficult marriages or relationships. And so really what I'm hoping is that this message will speak to each one of you in different ways, as only the Holy Spirit can do. So let me invite you to look over at Matthew chapter 15. And while you're turning there, if you're a guest with us, we are glad you are here. We've been walking through the book of Romans. We'll pick Romans back up next week. We're in Romans chapter 8, but for Mother's Day, we're taking a break from that. So if you want to come again and you want to listen to some of those past messages, you can go online and hear what we've been doing in Romans. But here in this text of Matthew, listen what Matthew tells us in this encounter that Jesus has. And Jesus went away from there, and he withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out, and she was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and she knelt down, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "Is it not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs?" She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. I'm going to try to just explain this text in a very short time, and then maybe a couple of applications of what it means for us and some encouragements for you as moms, okay? So notice at the very beginning the context. Notice this woman's reverence. It tells us as Jesus is going through, he comes into this country, this area that's not necessarily where he usually does ministry, and he's going really away to rest. He's just had this encounter with the Pharisees about washing and whether you're clean on the outside or inside and things of that nature. And he just wanted to get away, to get a break, to resharpen, to refocus. And apparently word spread that Jesus had come into the neighborhood or come into the community, and out comes this woman, and she starts crying out to him, "Lord." Did you notice that three times in that text, that's how she addresses him? "Lord, Lord, Lord." The idea there, her, not a Jewish lady, just an individual who's a Canaanite. Remember Canaan, where the Israelites go into the promised land, the Philistine kind of nature, right? This woman who's not Jewish in her background, crying out to Jesus, "Lord." And it's not just that she calls him Lord, but notice that she also uses the Jewish divine monarchy, Son of David. She is describing him for who he is. She's ascribing to him his title, his worth, his value. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." It's interesting, I think, because this story happens in Mark. You find this also in Mark chapter 7. But here in Matthew, it follows right after Jesus has had this encounter with the Pharisees. And when you go back and you read in earlier verse of chapter 15, here it is, you have this Canaanite woman ascribing to Jesus his lordship, and the Pharisees, who should have ascribed to Jesus lordship, not doing that, arguing with him, battling him, arguing over man-made laws. Just look at verse 7. He calls them, "You hypocrites." And he goes on and says, "This is why Isaiah said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commands of men. So I think what Matthew's doing is he's showing us a comparison, kind of like Judges with Ruth, right? Judges is how Israel was acting. Ruth, the non-Jew, turns to God. So this Canaanite woman is crying out, God, have mercy. And it tells us this woman's cry is urgent. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Now, for some of you, maybe you're not comfortable with that kind of terminology or language, but all throughout the New Testament, we see that Jesus encountered spiritual forces and things that were unseen. Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God because our battle is against things that are unseen, right? And what we have here with this woman is a daughter who, for whatever reason, has been possessed or taken over by this demonic presence. And what we see, even though the text doesn't tell us, is other places when individuals are demonically oppressed, they hurt themselves, they hurt others, they cry out. They're uncontrollable. There's all kinds of difficult things that are going on in this individual's life, right? And so imagine you're that mother, and it's your daughter who's going through this moment in her life. There might be some urgency in yours as well. She's looking at her daughter, and in essence, I think what she's doing is, God, I need your help. My daughter, the one I love is possessed, and said, notice the word there, wickedly possessed. I think her daughter was just bad. I mean, she wasn't from Boston. I'm just saying, it's bad what's going on in her life, and this, it's just, I can't help it anymore. I'm just overwhelmed, and I need you to help me with my daughter. That's urgent. This love for her daughter presses her to Jesus. But look at Jesus' response. She's crying out, she's saying these things, but verse 23 says, he didn't answer her a word. In other words, that's just another way of saying, he just remained silent. Now think about that with me for a minute. Those of you who have some familiarity with the Gospels, that's not Jesus' general MO, to ignore people, right? So apparently her crying and her urgency and intensity was bothersome to the disciples. Because here they are with Jesus, and this woman's coming up and, help me, have mercy, David, son of David, save my daughter. And these disciples look at Jesus and they said, would you just heal that woman so that she would quit bugging us? Because in Jesus' general history that they've seen, usually when somebody comes up to Jesus, he encounters them, he does ministry with them, he sets them free. He said, I came to set the captives free. And so they're used to seeing him address the issue. So they're saying, come on, Jesus, just go ahead and do your thing, and let's get on, let this woman leave us alone. I think that's what's going on there. But look at his response. He answers in verse 24. And this is to the disciples. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's kind of a strange response, but it shows us that Jesus knew his mission. When Jesus was born, and his name is in Matthew, it tells us his name will be called Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. The gospel has always been a gospel to the Jew first. Paul tells us that, and we're going to see that as we continue on in the fall as we look at Romans 9 through 11. This idea, though, is Jesus is saying, God has sent me on a mission. I am the promised Messiah. I'm the fulfillment of Scripture. I'm the one who is coming to establish the Davidic kingdom, the one who God has promised to his people. I have come for them. But notice this woman's humility when she hears this answer. Verse 25, she came and she knelt down before Jesus. Lord, help me. I just want you to get the feel this woman is at wit's end. And she's gotten close enough that she doesn't have to yell out or cry out or scream out. She just prostrates herself right there at Jesus' feet. Now, if they don't give us the rest of the story, the general idea, again, is you think Jesus is going to, like, touch her, say something to her, woman, get up, do, you know. But look how Jesus responds. This is like a headline. Christ insults the Canaanite. Here's what he says. Verse 26, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. What do you do with that? Jesus just called that woman a dog. Is that the Jesus you know? Makes us a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? These are the kind of passages that unbelievers come at you and say, that's the Jesus, that's the one who loved women and had compassion. He just called that woman a dog. Well, there's so many things. If you take stuff out of context, you don't get the full meaning. What Jesus is referring to is all throughout the Bible, you have these dogs that are wild animals, kind of like Cujo, right? I mean, just wild and rampant and evil and bad. And sometimes that's how people are referred to, those evildoers, those dogs. But there's also this idea of these types of dogs that are kind of like pet dogs, dogs that are inside the house. And so Jesus has just said, it's the mission that I have to address the Israelites. I'm sent for them. I've come to set them free. And then he uses this example. What he's saying, I think, is this. Look, it's not right for me to give what is due the children of God to the outsiders, to the pets of the house. Now, for a long time, and I don't mean this critical of anybody in here because I know people love their animals, right? But it used to be there was a distinction between children and animals. Then I moved to South Florida. You know what I'm talking about, right? You go to the mall, there's strollers, and you look in there, and it's a little chihuahua. You're driving down the road. I mean, I'm agreeing. You should not text and drive, but you should also not hold a pet and drive, right? It's dangerous. You have commercials. It's not good enough that your dog eats dog food. He needs to eat it on, like, fine china, right? I mean, you've seen these commercials. There are people who have elevated their status of their animals to the status of children. They call them, these are my children, these are my pets. And again, I'm not trying to be critical, but in this day and age, it's different than what Jesus was getting at. Used to be, children, people, had a higher priority than animals. He's not saying that the dog shouldn't have food. What he's saying is the owner of the pet needs to make sure that the children have what is due theirs first. You don't take the turkey and give it to the dogs first. You take the turkey and you put it on the table, right? And make sure that the family eats. So maybe in that context, it's not as bad as it seems. But notice the woman's response to Jesus' statement. Verse 27. She says, yes, Lord. That's true. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. There's boldness there, isn't it? Ultimately, what she's saying is, like every mother knows, yeah, but. Yeah, but. Yeah. Yes, but. Yeah, whatever. So Jesus just told her this, and she's like, yes, that is true, but what falls to the ground, you don't pick back up and put on the table. If something falls off your table at Thanksgiving time, you let the animals, if you let them run around in your house, you let them lick it up, eat it up, whatever it is. And sometimes the kids even deliberately do what? Somebody got on to me because I made fun of Brussels sprouts. But if you put Brussels sprouts on my plate, okay? So what she's saying is what falls on the ground, we should be recipients of that as well. It kind of draws my mind back to Ruth walking through, and what was left on the ground, she picks up and she gleans, and that's what she was able to have. It'd been awesome to have seen Jesus' face at this time with this woman. Because Jesus was a man of joy. I mean, he's a man of sorrow, and he experienced tough things, but he laughed. I mean, he experienced all the things that we experience. And I'm sure when this woman, with her wit, responded to him, it did his heart good. I think he smiled, because look what he says. He answered her, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." I think that pleased Jesus, that that woman was bold enough to say, "I understand you have come for Israel, but even so, here I am, a Gentile. I'm asking that just some of your mercy would overflow and that I would be a recipient of that mercy and grace for my daughter, for me, for my family." He says, "Great is your faith." It's interesting because as you go back and you just read one chapter before, you hear the opposite. "O ye of little faith." Well, who was he speaking to then? Peter. Walking on the water, remember? He's on the water and it starts getting windy and the waves are crashing against him and he starts to panic and he cries out and Jesus looks at him and says, "O ye of little faith." So on one side you have Peter who has little faith and God, and here in the scriptures, is looking at this non-Jew, non-religious person and he says, "Look at your faith. That pleases me." Nothing pleases God more than when his children have faith in him. And it pleased him. And he says to her, "Be it done for you as you desire." And the glorious answer, her daughter was healed instantly. Instantly. Probably when Don was taking y'all through in Sunday school, you didn't think about that as a Mother's Day message. I hadn't either until this week, but let me share, mothers, what I think you can take from this. One, it's a reminder to you that you can't fix everything. You can't fix everything. I don't know how it was in your family, but in my family, and even now in our house, when things go bad, and even like on that video, the mom was the one that seemed like she was always the fixer, right? Boo-boos, scrapes, band-aids, all that kind of stuff. It's Allison who took care of him. It's my mom who takes care of him. Things happened in the house when I was growing up. It was my mom who would take care. Something happened at school. It would be my mom that I would go to, right? If you got picked on, bullied on, which had never happened to me. But if that happened to you, you might go to your mom. And your mom was the fixer of things, right? And moms, I think that's kind of what you want to do. You're compassionate. A lot of times as dads, we're like, "Oh, suck it up. You'll get better." But as moms, Jesus in the Bible talks about it. Like you spread your wings out around your children. You just want to take them in and comfort them. That's a motherly thing to do. And there's a lot of things that you can fix, but there are some things that you are out of your hand. You can't fix. You can't fix. Some of you have wild, rebellious, undisciplined kids, and I don't mean just like, you know, you didn't do a good job raising them. You know what I mean. I mean, just kids that you've loved in, you've poured into, and for some reason or another, they've just chosen to go the other way. There's no magic meal that you can make to fix that. Some of your kids, maybe they're grown, but they've got broken lives. They've made bad choices and decisions, and they're in all kinds of mess. Maybe they got bad marriages. Maybe there's been infidelity or they're struggling there. Maybe they're an unbeliever. Maybe you have grandchildren and your children are not raising your grandchildren the way that you raised them and it breaks your heart. I mean, you can't fix it. But the story reminds us the woman knew who could fix it. Christ. So in those moments when you come to the edge, moms, and you say, I can't fix this, it's almost as if God is saying, I know. Cry out to me in bold faith like this woman, believing that God hears you, that God cares for you, that God will move and work in your life. Keep your finger here in Matthew. Let me just remind you about Hebrews just for a second. Hebrews chapter 4. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. I'm even going to read verse 14 and following. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Listen, moms especially, listen, in the context of today, let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy. Isn't that what the woman was crying out? Lord, have mercy. That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Not just in temptations, but I think in the context even of Matthew, to help us in our family situations, to help us with our rebellious children, to help us in the difficulties that we find ourselves, to help us when we're just not able to fix what needs to be fixed in our families. And the text says to come boldly, boldly. Like this woman, this Canaanite woman. Believing that Jesus hears and with him all things are possible. So moms, this day, let me give you two words of hope. One, keep urgently crying out to God to move on your behalf. Yeah, that son, he may still be rebellious. That daughter, she may have a hard heart. That child, that grandchild, they may be away from the Lord, but that doesn't mean to quit praying for them. It doesn't mean to give up. It doesn't mean that God's not hearing you. Instead, keep crying out, Lord, you alone can fix this. Do you believe that? Lord, my situation and my family, I want them, like that woman with her daughter, I want my son, I want my daughter, I want my family to be set free from this stuff, this junk, all this stuff that's going on in their life. But Lord, I can't. Whatever I say, it doesn't matter to them. Lord, I need you to move and to work and to speak and to act. Oh God, have mercy. And I think be bold. Keep praying bold prayers. Not just, Lord, save my family. But say stuff like this. God, I'm asking that today you would set my son free from that addiction that he has. Or God, today I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would restore the marriage of my daughter with her husband. Right? Lord, I'm asking that today my daughter would come to faith in Christ. I mean, be specific. Ask big things. That's what this Canaanite woman did. She wasn't afraid that Jesus said, I haven't really come to deal with you right now. Yeah, Lord, but I'll take just a little bit. Her boldness before him should inspire you. Ask big things, moms, believing that God can do it. And not just that he'll do it in the future. He might even do it right now. Right now. That's what I'm praying for you. That's what I'm asking. God, you know, we talked about it in Romans. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too marvelous. We don't always understand. I know some of your moms are groaning and hearts are broken. And I'm asking right now that God would give to you, based on your faith, the desires, the things that you've been praying for and longing for. Let me just close with this. Some of you here today, you're the ones that your mom's praying for. Maybe what you've been doing has been breaking your mom's heart. Maybe the way you've been acting or treating her or the decisions you're making in life or the things that you've gotten yourself into. Your mom is heartbroken. And maybe today you're here because God has been drawing you. And he wants to answer your mom's prayer even today. Or your grandmother's prayer today. What is it in your life that you know is breaking your mom's heart. It's making a mess of your life. It's dishonoring the Lord. Can today, can you lay it down? Because I guarantee you, flowers and candy and going out to eat after church, that's nice. And you better do that. But in this room, some of you, what your mom really wants is that right now you would say, "Father, forgive me, for I have sinned." Will you give your mom the prayer answer that she desires? But even more, will you give yourself the gift of life that comes only through faith in Christ? Moms, don't quit praying. The Lord hears. Father, I know in this room there are moms who, like this Canaanite woman, are at wit's end and all they have is you. But Lord, that's enough. Hear the prayers of the moms in this room. And Lord, even now as they're being lifted up to you, would you remind them, would you comfort them, would you let them know you're not ignoring them. They're not outside of your grace and your mercy, but you love them and you're working. And Lord, would you even today answer their prayer? Would you give them, like you did this Canaanite woman, the desire of their heart because of their faith in you, knowing that you alone can answer? Oh Lord, today, would we be able to give joy and celebrate with these women the good gift that you give them in reconciliation and salvation and marriages fixed and children set free, Lord, whatever it is they're praying for. And Lord, we pray these things not just because it's Mother's Day, but because, Lord, we know those things give you glory and honor. Setting the captives free is your desire. And so, Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.